Im Namen des Vaters, der Ehe, jetzt bitte die Sancti. Amen. As I mentioned in the 1962 calendar, today is a repeat of January 1st, a day within the, within the Christmas season still. It's the Mass from the first, January 1st. There we go. But in the United States, this is a change after 1962, the feast of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. So we will hear a little bit about her today. But I did want to mention that a few days ago I mentioned there was one of the ascetics. He lived a very penitential life. He stood outside for 7 days at a time, wanted admittance to a monastery. They told him it was too tough for him. He entered and they asked him to leave because he was too tough for them. But I couldn't remember his name. That was St. Macarius the Younger from 2nd January. So if you want to look up his life, it's very edifying. But Elizabeth Ann Seton, a lot of firsts for America here with this saint. She was the first saint, canonized saint, who was born in America, what would become the nation of America. Well, Kateri Tekakwitha, I guess, is the first Native American saint. But she's the first, the one that was actually living while it was a country. So she established the first Catholic girls' school in the nation, the first American congregation of religious sisters. Plenty of religious orders were here already, but she actually founded one, from the ground up. So she was born in the year 1774, a couple years before we were a nation, to a wealthy Episcopalian family, and her family name was Bailey. Her mother died when she was only 3 years old, so that was traumatizing to her, we could say. And her father remarried, and with this, her stepmother, her father had 5 more children, and that seemed to be going well. Elizabeth's stepmother took her on charitable house calls. She would go around and visit the poor and the sick, and very charitable. So that was left an impression on young Elizabeth. But unfortunately, this second marriage ended in divorce. And so Elizabeth's stepmother only maybe a few years later ended up leaving the family and rejecting Elizabeth. So now she lost her mother twice. So that was a rough thing for her. And, kind of a indication that, even hundreds of years ago, divorce was still a problem, we could say. And notice these were Episcopalians who got a divorce. And they were wealthy. That was the thing back then. Poor people couldn't afford a divorce. Not that you couldn't pay the lawyers, you couldn't afford to lose your helpmate. No. So that's a sad event in her life, the second time. But at age 19, she married a man by the name of William Seton, from which she would take her name. And he was a wealthy businessman in New York. His family had come from Scotland, and they were businessmen overseas trading. And so it was a very happy life for her. He was a good man, came from a good family. And so not only was she wealthy and in high society, she was a very devout Episcopalian communicant, believing in God, wanting to cooperate with the grace of her baptism. And she continued the charitable example of her mother-in-law. She visited the poor, the sick, was generous with her time, with her church, and with her friends. And so there we see that... invincible ignorance at work. People that don't know they're in error. And so this is Elizabeth Ann Seton. She was worshiping God the best way that she knew how and the way that she thought was proper. But just a few years later, her husband's fortunes and his health would take a turn for the worse. He lost some ships at sea. England went to war with France. There was embargoes. It was just disastrous for his business. And so he started to get sick, I guess, because of it. A yellow fever was raging there in New York. And so it kept getting worse. The family was losing money. They were spending money on doctors. And eventually they thought if he went to Italy, the warmer climate would help his health. So he moved with Elizabeth, his wife, and their 5 children at this point. They all moved to Italy, and when they got there, they got put in quarantine for a few months because of the yellow fever in New York. Now we know what that means, right? It's not pleasant. So while they're in quarantine, either there or shortly thereafter, her husband, he died. And now she was completely devastated. Her family, they'd been impoverished. She had 5 children. She had no husband. What was she supposed to do? So this is the darkest period of her life to that point. And this is where God steps in, right? It's those darkest periods where you think, God, where are you? He's like, I brought you here for a reason. And why did he bring her to Italy? Why did she have to lose her husband? Because there she met his business partners, Italian businessmen, and they taught her about the Catholic faith, the true worship of God, the true sacraments, communion that wasn't just a symbol of our Lord's body and blood, but actually was our Lord's body and blood. And she was completely convinced. She'd already been suspecting it for a while, and then now this is what enabled her to become Catholic. I mean, had her husband continued living, I mean, as pleasant as that would have been in this world, would he have agreed with that? Would he have become Catholic? Would he have let her become Catholic? Right? We don't know. So in any case, God's mercy brought her to the Catholic faith, and she returned to New York about a year later, and then she was baptized in St. Peter's Church there in New York. And this is 1805. And it might be surprising, it's a little church. It's kind of an ugly one. It was this like neo-Greek architecture. It looks like a pagan temple, like pillars in the front. But it was the only Catholic church in New York City in 1805. It was one Catholic church in New York City because of all the anti-Catholicism in this country. I mean, forget about that. This country was very anti-Catholic. You could have religious freedom in this country as long as you were Protestant and not Catholic. You may be familiar with Charles Carroll of Carrollton, the only signer of the Declaration of Independence who was also Catholic. The Carrolls, they're very wealthy in Maryland. At one point, they had their fortunes seized and taken because they were Catholic. In fact, Elizabeth Ann Seton, she herself would be baptized by Charles Carroll's cousin, who was John Carroll, the only bishop of the United States, from Baltimore. So she entered the Catholic Church in 1805. She was confirmed by Bishop Carrollton, and she opened a school for girls, for the kind of high society, upper-class girls in New York, which could have done well, should have done well, but then when the Protestant mothers found out that the woman running the school was Catholic, they would pull their children out of the school. That's how bad it was. So she was wondering what to do. This wasn't working. It was failing. And then she was invited to come down to Maryland and start a girls' school by a bishop who was visiting, Father Louis Dubourg. He was a bishop of the Louisiana Territory. He himself was from France, and Bishop Carroll had invited him in to help out run, I think it was St. Mary's School in Maryland. Now, we've heard of this bishop before, actually, if you've listened to my sermons, Bishop Louis Dubourg. He was the one who, this is 1809, he invites Elizabeth Ann Seton, come down and start a girls' school. A few years later, in 1817, he would be in Paris, and he met another woman who was named Rose Philippine Duchesne, and he invited her to come out and to start a school also, and so she did as well. So we don't hear about Bishop Louis Dubourg. He actually he was invited out of America because he was too French for the other English ecclesiastics. He went back and became a bishop in France. But he invited these women in, right? He got Elizabeth Ann Seton to come down to Maryland, and he got Rose Philippine Duchesne to come out, and she worked in St. Louis, St. Charles, Missouri, and then also in Kansas City. So kind of like the behind-the-scenes working. He's not a saint, but he worked with them, and he got them started in their paths. So that's a very interesting bit of history there, Bishop Louis Dubourg. So Elizabeth Ann Seton goes down to Maryland, and she starts this school. She calls it the St. Joseph's Academy and Free School. It was the first free school in the United States, and it's still in operation. It's still there. You can go. You can attend there. You can send your kids there. And it marked, actually, this is the beginning, and nobody knew it at the time, this is the beginning of the Catholic parochial school system in the United States. It would become just all over the place, thousands and thousands and thousands of schools, staffed by nuns, right? By women just like Elizabeth Ann Seton and Rose Philippine Duchesne, who we just heard about. So she established now, so who's going to teach at the school, right? You get other generous souls just like herself. A couple of her daughters join her, some younger men join her, and so she starts a religious community. And she models it after the Sisters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul. And this would become the first congregation of religious sisters founded in the United States. First free school, first congregation. And on March 25th, in 1809, Elizabeth Ann Seton pronounced her vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And from then on, she was called Mother Seton. And for the rest of her life, she would spend taking care of these schools and her newfound congregation. And she was described as a charming and cultured lady, of course, from her upbringing. And that greatly assists in the establishment of communities and endeavors just such as this. Somebody who understands high society and politeness and manners and courtesy, that isn't for show, that isn't to impress other people. It's to impress other people with kindness, with actual charity, with love of God. That's what that's for. In fact, I think I've mentioned this before, but high society and all these, like, we think of this snooty French aristocracy or whatever, that's the perversion of the medieval aristocracy, which was all about charity, which is about serving others, which is about being Christ-like to others and treating others as Christ. That's where a high society came from. So she understands this, and it's very helpful to her in founding her new community. And, you know, her connections with New York high society caused some social pressure. She'd been pressured to leave that wasn't proper, that wasn't, fitting in, whatever it may be. But she left a deep impact, right? Similar to St. Catherine Drexel. Her feast day is coming up, too. Very rich, very high society American woman who joined the church. And so she continued on with this, and eventually she herself, you know, she would suffer through the death of two of her daughters would die. It's a hard thing. And they weren't young. They were like 17 and 15, and two of her daughters died. One of the young sisters in her community died. There were misunderstandings, conflicts. But she continued working, and she ended up, as I said, founding those school systems. And she died in 1821 at the age of 46, not very old at all. And that was 1821. That's 199 years ago today was Elizabeth Ann Seton died. And this is kind of interesting for me because I went to Seton homeschool program named after her. And that was an experience. But now I know a little bit more about whom it was named after, Elizabeth Ann Seton herself. And she's got some great quotes about prayer. Prayer is what enabled her to accomplish what she did. We must pray without ceasing in every occurrence and employment of our lives. That prayer, which is rather a habit of lifting up the heart to God, as in a constant communication with Him, that practicing the presence of God, praying always, as St. Paul says. Secondly, the first end I propose in our daily work is to do the will of God. Secondly, to do it in the manner He wills it. And thirdly, to do it because it is His will. Now, those three things are so important. Do what you're supposed to do. Do it charitably, and do it even if you don't want to, right? That's do it because God wills it, not because I'm going to be successful, not because it's going to work, not because I like it. I'm doing it because this is what God wants me to do, right? That's the best way to do things. What a difference one woman can make, right, who simply corresponds with God's plan for her life. And as I say all the time, right, it's not up to us. She didn't choose to do that. The bishop came and invited her down. That's why it happened. Right, so often in life, that's how these great things for God are accomplished, not through us going out and forging a path and I'm going to make a name for myself in the church or I'm going to do something great for the church. I mean, that's great. Those are good desires, but God is the one who actually makes it happen. Just wait and be patient, and God will see that we do our things. So right, really we should consider ourselves bench warmers. In the spiritual life, right? In the church, we're bench warmers. What am I going to do? I'm going to sit on the bench until I get called into the game by the divine coach, right? And until then, I go to scrimmage, I do my practice, I run up and down, I do all the drills, and then if I get called in, I go and I'm ready. And that's all the saints. Elizabeth Ann Seton is no different. I mean, how many times have we heard about saints who they were good people, they lived their lives, they did their prayers, disaster happened, they didn't despair, they didn't give up, they just kept going, they kept persevering, and then these incredible things happen. Right? That is how God likes to work. We all want to see something amazing happening in the U.S. We want to see this country turn around in politics and the church and whatever. Be patient. I mean, who knows how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen, or maybe it's already started. Maybe somebody a year ago has started something that's going to come to fruition and be like, oh, there it was, but we didn't know about it. And that's why I had indigestion for 3.5 years, just because I was worrying so much about something that was already underway. So don't worry about it. Right? Be at peace. And thank God for sending his saints, and thank God for sending converts. She was a convert, not even a cradle Catholic. She was an Episcopalian, up until she was in her 20s. But that is what God likes to do. He calls the Jews, he calls the Gentiles, right, in the Old Testament. And so now, right, he calls those who have a generous heart. So let's pray for not just ourselves and our families, but for converts, right? Pray that God will bring those good men and women into the church and build upon the natural virtues, right? Build upon their generosity responding to the grace of baptism. So let's pray for that through the intercession of Elizabeth Ann Seton. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.